As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
And so if you're carrying heavy burdens, that isn't from God, because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So either Jesus is lying to us here, or he's absolutely telling a truth principle here, that somehow we are, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. Why are you heavy laden? Why are you carrying this huge burden that's weighing you down so much? Because you haven't given it over to the Lord. You haven't hooked your yoke upon Jesus. Because if you do, he will carry you through that. And he says right here, your yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy. It's still a yoke. There's still work to be done. But it's his burden to get it done. And you're just following what it is that he is telling you to do. I have a dear friend up in the mountains and pastor of a church there. And so years ago when Chuck Smith came and did a pastor's breakfast for us, after he got done exhorting us, teaching and things, he opened up for questions, and there were some really good questions. And then there was a question that kind of got a little bit of a stern rebuke from him. And so my friend is one that asked that question. And so he said, "Hey, Pastor Chuck," he said, how do you keep from getting burned out?"
"Well, I just believe what Jesus says. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I've never gotten burned out, nor do I get burned out, because I'm yoked to Jesus."
And it was a little bit of a smackdown of what was asked. And I remember thinking, "Oh, I'm so glad I didn't ask that." But every single pastor was glad that he asked that, because they wanted to hear this wisdom. Yeah, how do you not get burned out? And then when he spoke, it was kind of like, "I don't even know that guy." But it was kind of like, wow, that is absolutely true. Dave, have you ever gotten burned out? I've gotten close. And I would say by getting close, it was because I wasn't doing this. Dave, are you burned out because of the build project? I am not. Because I've put my yoke on Jesus. And because it is his burden, it's not mine. I started to get a little heavy laden with it. And then that's when the Lord spoke to me. He goes, who are you yoked to? Are you carrying this on? Are things just not going your way? Why don't you hook yourself back up to me and rest in me? That I'll get it done when I get it done. Okay? As soon as I did that, burden was gone. The burden was gone. And that's exactly what it is. Every one of us has to learn to rest and learn. What are you carrying this morning? And why are you carrying it? You're not resting in the Lord. You need to go before the Lord. You need to ask forgiveness for that, thinking that you know better than God. And so you have to carry this great burden for him. He hasn't called any of us to do that. He's called us to yoke ourselves with him, because his burden is light. There's still a burden there, but it's light. And if you're buckling under it, it's because you're doing it in your own strength. Back off. And let him carry you through that. Rest in him, knowing it's going to get done when it gets done. You know, I'm so blessed by all of you, because ever since we've done the build project, we have been saying, this is going to be done in God's timing. You know? So you could ask me, "Hey, Dave, when are we going to get up there? Hey, why is it taking so long? Whatever." You could ask that, and I'm going to say the same thing. We'll get up there when God wants to be up here. Here's the beautiful thing that I've experienced over the last 3+ years. I have never had any of you ever come up to me complaining that this is taking so long. None of you, you know, have come up to me, "Why is this taking, when are we going to get up there? Gosh, I haven't heard any of you say this." And I'm so blessed by that. I have pastors say it all the time. A pastor's prayer, here in town, you know, when other pastors at Calvary's outside of Colorado that I rub elbows with, yeah, haven't you been working on this for a few years now? Yeah. Well, what's taking so long? And I said, you don't get to ask that question. If you really want to know, go to the Lord. It's all being done in God's timing. It is pastors that have asked me that question. But you, the fellowship, you've never asked me that question. And it speaks volumes of who you are. You do understand it is God's timing, you know. And I'm very blessed by that. I just want to let you know that. That really blesses me as well. And so going back to this, we just see here, going back to Exodus 31 here. Verse 13 says something very, very interesting. It says, "Speak also the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." What is going to sanctify them? The Sabbath is what sanctifies them. What sanctifies us today? 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours." Hebrews 13:12, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." How does God set us apart for himself today? He does it in Christ. He did it by the blood of Christ. Jesus died for the sin of mankind. And when you receive that, you're sanctified. You're set apart in Christ. That's how it is today. That's the way it was back then. This is the way it is today. And so the Sabbath points to Jesus. So it gives way to the question. So is there a day of rest today that we should take? Remember what Jesus says. That man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to be a blessing. And so I do believe that there is a day that Christians should cease from work and worship and reflect on the goodness of God. And so, yes, I do believe that there is a day that we're collectively supposed to get together. Now, before I tell you what day that is, because it's Thursday at 4 a.m. No, it's... you need to understand this. There's three types of Old Testament laws. The moral law, it's the Ten Commandments. What's in the Ten Commandments? The fourth commandment.
Well, duh.
Okay, yeah, but the one that specifically says, speaks about the Sabbath, that's in the moral law. Is the Sabbath moral? Yes. Moral law is the Ten Commandments. Civil law, how you treat one another and strangers. Ceremonial law, governing the rituals and religious worship. The moral law never changes. There's more moral laws than just the Ten Commandments. When God speaks about his heart, who he is, and this is how we're supposed to do things, that speaks of morality. Yes, there's more than just the Ten Commandments. But when it comes to the civil law, that was just for Israel as a nation under the direct rule of God. That ended when Israel ceased to be its own nation under God at the death of Jesus. Judgment would come 40 years later, disperse the Jews, so they were no longer a nation. The old covenant is now gone. There's a new covenant in the person of Jesus. When it comes to the ceremonial law, that has all been fulfilled in Christ, as we just saw from Paul's statement in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, that all spoke of Christ. He did not come to abolish the law. He came to what? Fulfill it. He did that. So it has all been fulfilled in Christ, which leaves us with the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And again, the fourth commandment is still there. And so God commands that once a week we cease from our regular work to worship him. Now, certain aspects of that law are ceremonial. To rest on the Sabbath, meaning the last day of the week, being Saturday, as well as having festival Sabbaths such as Passover, or carrying out the penalty of breaking the Sabbath, which meant death. Those are all ceremonial, and guess what? Those are all no longer binding. Those have already been taken care of. And so the breaking of the Sabbath would be more of a civil law thing, and guess what? They're no longer a nation, so that's no longer binding on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath still is binding. But the actual day you celebrate it I would then argue is not. Because the day is in a person. It's in Jesus. Two tablets are put in to the Ark of the Covenant. Why those two tablets? Because the blueprints weren't put in there. The civil law that and judicial law that we have gone over in chapters 21 all the way through 24, that didn't go in there. The only thing that went in there was the moral law. The Ten Commandments went into the actual Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, with the cherubim on top, where we read all the time in the Old Testament how God dwells between the cherubim to show his presence is there and speaking of who he is with that moral law. That's what was in there. Now, something else we need to understand about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was already given even before Israel became a nation and was given to them in the Ten Commandments. And Exodus 31:17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Okay, so based on this, the Sabbath as an institution was there for all of mankind, based upon when the world was created. Now again, certain aspects of the Sabbath is only for Israel, such as the actual day being the last day of the week, the penalty of death for breaking the Sabbath. But there has always been a Sabbath, a day of rest for mankind. But with Israel as a nation, the Sabbath was given added significance as a sign of their relationship. Go back to verse 15 and 16 of Exodus 31. Work shall be done for 6 days. The seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. The word forever is a Hebrew word, olam. It means for a long duration or until the end of a specific time, or it could mean everlasting. It could mean eternity. It certainly could. It depends on its context. This is given to Israel as a nation. That nation has ended. That nation has ended. And so this ending as a sign between Israel and God came to an end at the end of Israel being a nation. Now, when we come to the New Testament, why does the early church meet on Sunday? Why do they meet on the first day of the week? Mark 6:9, I would submit to you, it's because that's when the resurrection happened. Mark 16:9 says, now when he, Jesus, rose early on the first day of the week, that means his resurrection was on the first day of the week, okay? The interesting thing about Israel, which I love so much about the Old Testament, is that everything surrounds the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the only day of the week that has a name for it. That's the Sabbath. Well, what is Wednesday? Not Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday would be the fourth day of the week, okay? And so Monday would be Sunday would be the first day of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's a number that's attached to it, okay? And so Friday would be the sixth day of the week. Thursday would be the fifth day. Everything is in third day from the Sabbath or 2 days after the Sabbath. That's always how it's spoken of in God's word, because it was a Sabbath that was a sign that they were God's people coming together, worshiping him. And this is how he sanctified him, by all of God's people getting together on that day. And so here we're told that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. I gave other scriptures that says the same thing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It was the first day of the week when the church was born in Acts 2:1-4. That's the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, which landed on the first day of the week. And so that was the day that the church was born, on the first day of the week. It was the first day of the week we see disciples come together to break bread. We see it in Acts 20:7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, they gathered first day of the week, and he preached all the way to midnight. Let this be a lesson to all of us that I do not go too long. It could be longer. And so we see the church coming together. We see them gather together as a time where that's also a time when they collect offerings. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So it was also during this time that they received offerings. And so the first day of the week, the Apostle John called the first day of the week the Lord's Day. In Revelation 1:9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Okay, David, what gave the apostles the right to change the day of rest to the first day of the week, Sunday, instead of Saturday? Well, they didn't change it. Jesus changed it. The only one who can change an ordinance of God is God. Jesus changed it. Jesus is God. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The Sabbath on a Saturday, the last day of the week, is because of creation. From the very beginning, it was that way. But now there's a new creation. And that's Jesus. And so things now are celebrated. God transforms his holy day of the Sabbath to the Lord's Day by raising Jesus from the dead. God accomplished this new exodus from sin on the first day of the week, Sunday, the Lord's Day. And from then on, Jews and Gentiles, those in Christ, observe Sunday, the first day of the week, to rest and worship. The Israelites were looking forward to salvation, their Messiah to come. It was only logical for them to have their special day of worship at the end of the week and anticipation of their Savior to come. But now Christ has come. And so we begin our week by worshiping God on his fulfilled promise of the Savior Jesus on the day as he was resurrected. So as they were looking forward to that day, we now look backwards to that day. And when was that day? The day that he was raised from the dead. Sunday worship was the day the early church gathered to rest and worship. The epistle of Ignatius on AD 107 said, "Be not deceived with strange doctrines, nor with old fables which are unprofitable. For if we still live according to the Jewish law, we acknowledge that we have not received grace. If therefore those who are brought up in the ancient order of things have come to the possession of a new hope, no longer observing the Sabbath, but living in the observance of the Lord's day, on which also our life has sprung up again by him and by his death." Thus showing that in AD 107, that is when the church celebrated the Lord's Day, was on a Sunday. That's when they got together. Justin Martyr said the same thing. Second century apologist says, "Sunday is the day on which we all hold our communion assembly because Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day arose from the dead." Clement of Alexandria, 194 AD, praised a fellow believer and said, "He, in fulfillment of a precept according to the gospel, keeps the Lord's day." The Didache is an ancient Christian document that contains moral, liturgical, eschatological teachings. About 90 AD, it speaks all the time about how Sunday is the Lord's day for people getting together. Irenaeus, Tertullian, many other church fathers tell us the early church celebrated the first day of the week, Sunday. Okay, Dave, does Sunday then have to be the day of rest? It does not, but we should have a day of rest. We should follow God's example first. Exodus 31:17, at the end, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth. The seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Refresh means to catch your breath, to take a breather. If God did that, he is an example to us. We should do that as well. We should do that as well. Now, because of the direction that was shown the early church, how Jesus was raised on the dead, Paul meeting and other apostles meeting on the Lord's day, and now they collectively meet on the first day of the week, it is because that was something that honestly they could do. They chose instead to do it on that day. And you know what? Government and other things didn't hinder them from doing that. And so, yes, let's meet on Sunday. If you can meet on Sunday, let's meet on Sunday. You know who's against meeting on Sunday? Those who went to Saturday night service last night. Whatever works best in order to collectively get with God's people to worship him, then do that, because it's still resting in the person. okay? But Sunday, I think, is a perfect time in order to come together collectively, because that is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. But remember, our rest, our Sabbath, is in Jesus now. Does it have to be? It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. One of the reasons we have Saturday night service is because there are many folks who go to Saturday night that can't come Sunday morning. Okay? There are things in our culture today that kind of keeps us from being able to maybe come on Sunday morning. You might be a police officer. You might be in some sort of service that you have to work on Sunday or on the weekend. Is God saying no Christian should ever be in law enforcement? Should never be in any sort of emergency services that you have to be on call and be ready to go out at any time on a Sunday? No. God wants everybody in all sorts of professions to be a light and a witness. Now the question is, there are some churches that can have a Saturday night church. You know, there's some churches that can't. And so they're just doing it on Sunday morning. They're not doing anything wrong. That's all that God has led them to do at this point. Okay? And so there's others that are bigger churches. And guess what? They not only have a Saturday night, they also have a midweek service. And it is a full-blown service as well. They have worship, take childcare, all that kind of stuff. Because there are people that work on the weekend, but they still want to collectively bring their family to a worship service. Well, guess what? That's their day of rest, Wednesday, as they come to Wednesday night service. And so you could have it on Tuesday night. You could have a Thursday morning service. If there's enough people that can come to that and gather together, that's all good. Here's what's not good. Is when someone says, you know what? You don't have to go to church in order to be a believer. No, you don't. You have to receive Jesus in order to be a believer. But you do have to go to church. You have to be part of a faith community in order to be able to use your gifting that God has given you in order to advance the kingdom of God. You also have to be in church in order to grow in your newfound faith, because you can't grow in your faith by being disobedient. And God's word makes it very clear, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. Why? Because what happens there, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's where that takes place. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of some. But we exhort one another, so much as you see the day approaching. Yes, we exhort, we encourage, we pray, we love, you use your giftings here. This is why you need to be part of a community of faith. Another wonderful thing is that it's a witness. It's an amazing witness. People see you get in your car, come to church every single Sunday morning. They know you're church-going folk. And guess what? That's a witness. That is absolutely a witness. You know, somebody who says, I don't like the way the church is and this, that, and the other thing, so I don't go to church, but I believe in Jesus. Guess what? Your Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. You're selfish. And you rage against all wise judgment. You're wrong. You show me a Christian who doesn't go to church, and I will show you a very, very immature Christian that isn't growing in their faith and God is not using. Now, this is different when you go out to do a church plant, or if you're being called into the mission field and you're out over here and you're the one that's the tip of the spear trying to witness and things like that. But when you get the opportunity, you should be in some sort of household of faith, that you could be with other believers, praising God, using your gifts and things like that. But understand, this is what God has called us to do. So yes, I believe that we are supposed to gather today. And by doing it, you're showing you trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. You're trusting God because what you're saying is that, Lord, I believe that you're going to take care of me for that one day that I take off and get refreshed in you. Amen? Let's pray.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.